Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another great edition of the FFP Crew Show. I am your esteemed host, JTAK the Master, and as always, on a Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm joined by my two esteemed co-hosts, Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker. Jeff from New Jersey, just like myself, and Black is from the DMV area, meaning he's down there at the place of the type of politics some people like and some people don't. We got a great show in store for you tonight. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me, Jeff, or Black. We have a chat room open. We always have that chat room open. It's for your convenience. Ask a question, make a comment or a statement. We'll address it on air, and if it's good, we'll address it. If it's bad, be prepared for the comeback. That's all I got to say. But without further ado, let's bring my two esteemed co-hosts. And I'm not going to be Jersey biased. I'm going to bring the guy from the D.C. area in first, and then I bring my fellow Jersey guy in. What's up, Black?
Hey, what's going on, Tony?
All right.
Hey, Black.
The name you heard, the voice you heard over there was Jeff. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Jerry Black. Everybody, thanks for the intro.
Before I go any further, I just found this. I saw it on the web, and I know Black, I don't know if he knows this or not, but I'm going to put it out there. A friend of the show, and it's definitely someone that Black Files follows heavily, undefeated D.C. boxer Dusty Fernandez will throw out the first pitch at the National versus on December 26th, which is tomorrow, probably tomorrow night, whatever it is. So, Black, I don't know if you knew that, but your boy is getting some record a little bit. So, and he's throwing up in a Nationals game.
I got the email earlier. You know, I'm real, real tight with Dusty's manager and his promotion. So I got the email early. We tweeted it out early on the FFP Crew Show Twitter, and All In Entertainment responded to Dusty, and Dusty himself actually retweeted it probably just about 10 to 15 minutes ago.
Okay. All right. I just had to get that out there, and baseball season is slowly dwindling down. There's only a handful of games left. Black, before we go any further, I'm going to touch a slight bit on baseball. Tell me where your Nationals are at, anything else you want to talk about your Nationals?
Oh, well, we're doing good right now, man. I mean, we're trying to take L.A. for that top spot as far as the record is concerned, but we're looking good right now. I heard our playoff rotations might go in this first playoff round. I heard that Strasburg might be the leadoff, followed by Fister, maybe Gio, and then the rest of the guys. So I'm looking forward to this postseason. Hopefully we can make some noise. We don't flame out. We got to do good against whoever we play because it's wide open this year for everybody.
Yeah, I truly believe that. But for one team, it's not wide open. And their conquering hero is playing his last game in Yankee Stadium if hasn't been rained out. I'm talking about number two on your program for the New York Yankees, Derek Jeter is playing his last game at Yankee Stadium. I know Jeff's not an avid baseball fan, but I think he is a Yankee fan. And your thoughts on that, Jeff?
Wow. You know, I was going to mention that, and I just want to say now I'm going to have to leave the show a little early tonight. But, yeah, it's the end of an era in the Bronx tonight. I'm just glad it looks like the weather is cleared up because there was a strong chance it was going to be a lot of rain tonight, and that would spoil a big, real big occasion. I mean, I watch a lot of baseball as a kid. I really don't care for the sport now. You know, football could use a Derek Jeter right now. I mean, he is meant – he's like a throwback. I mean, he's probably bigger than DiMaggio, I think. I'm not kidding. And Yankees have had, since I've been a kid, a lot of great players, but a lot of those guys were brought in through trades or free agency. Derek came up through the Yankees farm system, you know, 20 years, a lot of winning, more importantly, a lot of class. Because believe me, if this guy jaywalked, it'd be all over the New York papers, you know. And he's never slipped up. You know, he's the real deal. I can't say enough good things about the guy. I think he picked the right time to retire because I think he's running out of gas, but that's okay. And the thing is, his last contract, I think he was fighting to get $15 million a year, and people thought he's being greedy. But for every buck he's making, the Yankees are making 10 bucks off him, I think, you know, because believe me, they've really monetized this retirement tour. And it's the end of an era, and I mean, you know, George Steinbrenner passed away a couple of years ago, and now Mariano's retired, and then Jeter's retiring. They got to really start winning again and establish some kind of identity. You know, Jeter's been so popular with the fans. He grew up in Michigan, but he was born in New Jersey. I mean, you can look it up.
Right.
I think he had grandparents who lived in this area or something, but that's just part of the legend of Jeter. And you hear people... nobody says he's a bum, but a few people say he's a little overrated or whatever. But, you know, another thing he stayed away from, he was a great player during the steroid era, and there's never been any even a shred of proof that he messed with that when it was probably tempting when his old former friend A-Rod was messing around and hitting 50 homers a year or whatever. But, you know, he's a good guy from a good family and whatever, and you know, and he had his values at a very young age when a lot of people are still developing them. Yeah, end of an era, no doubt.
Well, let me ask you something, Jeff, because I'm been listening to sports radio quite naturally, ESPN Radio and The Fan. And for the last few days, one of the hot topics besides Jeter playing these last games at Yankee Stadium is This is what I'm hearing here, and this is a conversation that I listened to on Michael Kay's show and on ESPN Radio. Fans calling and saying that it would be a bad thing if he went up to Boston and played his last games up in Boston versus playing his last game in Boston. They're disparaging him for the fact is that Jeter, if he's able to play, if he's healthy, is going to play every baseball game. Now, it's not guaranteed that he's going to play when he's up in Boston, but more than likely because of Derek Jeter and he's a baseball player, he's going to play his last game regardless of where it's at, whether it's in Yankee Stadium, whether it's in Timbuktu, with nobody watching, he's going to play his last baseball game. So, in my opinion, and I don't know how you feel, but in my opinion, him playing his last game in Boston in Fenway Park is apropos to the.
Yeah, you know, I've been hearing he might not play. Oh, sorry.
So go ahead.
Jerry, you're fading in and out. I'm sorry. You know, you know, I've been hearing he won't play, but I hear, of course, because he's who he is, he wants to play. It's not like they have to worry about the postseason. And, you know, I'm surprised the Yankees weren't able to manipulate it somehow with Major League Baseball that he finish up the season at home. But you know what? This is Boston, and as much as you know, there's that, you know, insane rivalry. I'm sure the Red Sox fans are going to give him a big hand the last game. I think he's going to play. I mean, they might DH him or whatever, but and yeah, I don't know. He probably should play. They got nothing to lose. They're not, you know, going into postseason or anything like that. Believe me, I've seen worse guys play. You know, I mean, yeah, he's running out of gas, but he won't embarrass himself.
I'm surprised that it's such a controversy. I mean, you can't fault the guy. The guy gave a bunch of good years, and he wants to go out on his own terms. If he wants to end it in Yankee Stadium, fine. But I don't think that's his type of guy. You talked about his character and the way the guy is. He loves playing baseball. He announced earlier before the season, he even started way back, that this was going to be his last year. If it was me, I tried to play every single inning, every single game I could possibly play. I know I'm not coming back to play this anymore. So I want to get everything to possibly get out of it before I walk away from the game. So I don't know how you feel about it, Black, but talk to me.
I don't feel in any type of way. I took my hat off for Gritty. I was never a Yankees fan, so there's no love lost for me. But he's a great, great player. Should be able to easily walk into the Hall of Fame on this first ballot.
Okay. Well, let me talk about guys walking away. And I know Black doesn't want to hear this, but one of the Dallas Cowboys, and there's a little controversy about the Cowboys, and I'm not picking on the Cowboys, but it's one of the things I wanted to talk about because it came up in the news, is that Morris Claiborne, who was a high draft pick by the Dallas Cowboys, was greatly affected when Lando Sanders came back off his suspension. And he's not going to be a starter. Sandrick is going to be the starter going forward. And Claiborne packed up his gear, whatever, and walked out. Walked out of the Cowboys facility. Now, he came back later in the day, later that night or whatever, and talked to Garrett. And I guess, supposedly, he was told or was informed of him being demoted. And from what I also is that I don't understand this, and I got I really have a problem with this, that Jason Garrett won't suspend this guy for walking out of the facility when he was supposed to be there and was required to be there, and he walked out. Black, you're a Dallas Cowboys fan. I have some news.
Well, did you just end off with your favorite in the mouth? End off with.
What's your thoughts on what Mo Claiborne did, walking out, coming back, and then Jason Garrett not suspending him for walking out?
Oh, well, Jason Garrett doesn't run the team, Jerry Jones, but. So I'm not surprised that the Jason Garrett didn't suspend him. Just take a look at what we have in the secondary between Morris Claiborne and Orlando Sanders. The secondary is poor. It's very poor. We are currently sitting at 2-1 in the NFC, so that's a surprise to me right now. We'll see how Sanders looks when he comes back, but you know, the guy we tend to move up so high to get him anyway, and sacrifice draft picks to get him, turned out to be a bust. But, you know, that's how the Cowboys operate. You know that.
Okay. Well, Black, I hate to do this to you, but I have to talk about another Cowboy thing that's going on. I think it came out today out of the New York Post that, and I'm going to read this article that came out of the New York Post. The former stripper suing Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones for allegedly groping her in a hotel bathroom has updated her lawsuit to claim the NFL honcho was paying her hush money for years. Jana Fletcherly snapped the racy photos of two young strippers According to the 71-year-old billionaire, claims that Jones and the Cowboys put money in her bank account to keep her silent for 4 years after 2009 alleged attack. The former is not a guilty claims to the sex place in the bathroom of a Texas hotel when the Randy Cowboy owner forcibly groped her, penetrated her with his fingers, kissed her, and made her watch as he received oral sex from another woman. The Oklahoma woman is seeking more than $1 million in damage from Jones. The updated lawsuit is a limitations expires. A hearing is set for Friday to determine whether the lawsuit does not say exactly when the alleged assault took place, was filed too late due to the statute. The lawsuit also says Weckerly bank records can prove the payments were made, but it does not specify how much was paid. While receiving the funds, Weckerly was told to keep her mouth shut or else, the suit says. I'm not going to go any further. Black, your boy, your owner, this woman, I hate to say it like this, but because of Ray Rice, because of McDonald's from in Carolina, because of Adrian Peterson and all those stories, and Jonathan Dwyer and all those stories that have the NFL hierarchy running for cover, has now brought this raised this ugly head again. Talk to me, Black. This is another ugly stain, supposedly. Now this is the owner on the NFL. Talk to me.
I wish I heard what you said. You keep going in and out. Are you in a good area?
Yeah, I'm having the same problem.
I couldn't understand anything you said.
I heard most of it. Excuse me, Black. I got to go in a minute. I'll tell you, yeah, that's a bad accusation against Jones, and I'll tell you, the owner of the Ravens looked like a real sleaze at that press conference a couple days ago. Maybe the problem with NFL conduct starts at the top with the owners. Black, I got to go because I got to meet some friends to watch the game.
No problem.
Bye, everyone. Have a good show. Take care.
Enjoy the game. Enjoy the game, Jeff. What I'm saying is this, Black. Can you hear me better?
You were going in and out. Like, I don't know. You need to move to a different area, I think.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. What I was saying is this, that Jerry Jones is getting sued again, or the suits come back up again, about a former stripper who Jerry Jones is alleged to had groped. Digitally penetrated her and had her watch why he received a oral sex from another stripper in a Texas hotel bathroom. Basically, I'm saying that the NFL with the Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, Greg Hardy, the guy from San Francisco McDonald, the Jonathan Dwyer, and the list goes on and on. What are your thoughts? Now, this is an owner. This is an owner. And NFL is running for cover now. Now this raises his ugly head again. Your thoughts?
I think my man Jerry has enough money that'll be going away pretty soon.
Well, let me put it this way, Black. Let me put it this way. One of the things that was said in this thing was let me quote it. Hold on, let me get down to the bottom of the article. That's where it was. This was quoted from the person who filed the suit. While receiving funds, Weckerly, that's the woman's last name, was told to keep her mouth shut or else. Unquote.
Well, the or else part of Jerry is about to rear its ugly head. So, like I said, This will go away shortly. This won't be out in the news for too long.
Okay, there's supposed to be a hearing. When is it now? I just saw it. Friday, which is tomorrow. To determine whether the lawsuit can go forward or not. So, This took place back in 2009, so it's like 5 years old. So saying the statue was 4 years, and now they're saying that they're trying to bring it back up again. And I'm saying this because all the stuff that's been going on with the NFL, I think somebody else is trying to cash in on it too. You agree with that or not?
I think Jerry's going to make this go away. I think he's going to make it go away. I don't think we're heading nothing out of tonight.
All right. Okay. Well, the other thing I want to talk about, one of the other things that, and if this has got to do with the NFL also, quite naturally, is the, because of what's going on with these players and the bungling with the hierarchy, including Commissioner Goodell, of all the things, of all this domestic violence and alleged child abuse, a Pro Football Talk article says that the NFLPA has the NFL in a vulnerable spot. Despite some periodic and scattered criticism of the NFL's Players Association role in the Ray Rice debacle, the truth remains that the union didn't have a role in the Ray Rice debacle. Via collective bargaining, the NFL secured full authority over disciplinary process, and the NFL bungled that authority badly. The NFLPA doesn't discipline players. It defends players when discipline is imposed improperly. And this is what we were talking about last week. This specific paragraph I talked about last week. After the initial Ray Rice suspension, the NFL filed no appeal. After the second Ray Rice suspension, which seems to have risen from the same conduct and which would thus violate the labor deal prohibition against two punishments for one crime, the NFLPA filed an appeal. Now, regardless, power secured by the NFL via negotiations with the union created a mess so bad that the NFL now needs to give some of those powers up via revised personal conduct policy. And the reason I'm going further in this article, because I want to make this point. As of Sunday, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell intended to meet Tuesday with NFLPA Executive Director DeMora Smith. That meeting didn't happen. It's unclear why it didn't happen, but if Smith has decided to play it coy at a time when Goodell is feeling a little desperate to act well, that's pretty much what Goodell would do to Smith if the tables were turned. The NFL has a habit of taking advantage of all leverage in labor relations, both in acquiring powers and using them. It's never about win-win. It's about we win, you lose, and if you want to change that, be prepared to lose some more. So now the NFL will be looking to give up some of its powers in order to restore some of its credibility. To get there, it needs the NFLPA to forget about the league's past negotiation tactics
and commit to the
kind of win-win approach that the NFL generally has had no interest in pursuing. As a result, and this is a great article, the NFLPA currently has real power. If the league wants to alter the conduct policy in a way that removes power from Goodell, the NFLPA should refuse to make any concessions to get there, insisting instead on changes coming unilaterally. If the league likewise wants to alter the policy in a way that gives the NFL more powers over the players, the NFLPA should demand major concessions in other areas. This is like the labor agreement getting reopened. Is it fair to take advantage of the NFL's current vulnerability? As the NFL would say, if the NFLPA currently were floundering in the wake of a mess of its own making, it's not about fair. It's about collective bargaining, and collective bargaining is about using whatever circumstances presents themselves to get the best possible terms and conditions.
The NFL routinely has done that in all negotiations. Now, the NFLPA gets a rare chance to do it to the NFL. Black, your thoughts.
I totally agree with the article, and I believe the NFLPA, which we have said about DeMar Smith, will take full advantage of what's going on in the NFL. And just today now, a blow to the NFL next month as Procter & Gamble has pulled out of the breast cancer support for next month. So there's another blackout.
Wow. Really?
Yes. That was announced today.
Wow. Unbelievable. I can't see how much time is left. Anyway, okay. Oh, yeah, you know what? And I saw something like that, too. And I thought I had it. Let me see if I could find it again.
And that's a huge, huge sponsor. That's a very huge sponsor.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right about that. Wow. Hold on a minute here, Black.
So while you're looking for that, we currently have a football game going on down here in Washington as the New York football Giants are taking on the Washington Redskins. And it looks like the Giants will receive the kickoff first and take the field. So we'll see how Eli Manning and this magic of Kirk Cousins can continue tonight.
You said that the Procter & Gamble has withdrawn from the NFL for Breast Cancer Awareness Month, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. A growing number of sponsors expressed concern about the recent domestic violence issues. Quite naturally, we heard about it before. Anheuser-Busch, PepsiCo, who else in here? Nike dropped Ray Rice's as a sponsor, or sponsor from Ray Rice. I think there's, I'm not mistaken, I thought they did the same thing or Under Armour, whoever it was, for AP. So these companies are major contributors and sponsors. These are no lightweights. When you talk about PepsiCo and Nike and Procter & Gamble. I mean, you know, I don't know, man. This is crazy. This is, and you know, it's all going to fall on Roger the Dodger. If he starts losing serious revenue that the NFL has been accustomed to, his supposed vote of confidence from the NFL owners will quickly dissipate. When the money that they're used to being put into their pockets slowly starts being pulled out one by one, meaning the sponsors one by one pull them back and not wanted to sponsor, because quite naturally you sponsor the NFL, that's going to reflect on the consumers who are looking at the company, who is sponsoring an organization that is, for all intents and purposes, and for lack of a better word, supporting or enabling wife beaters or girlfriend beaters or child abusers and things and people of that ilk. And if consumers get that idea in their head, it's hard to get that idea out, and if they're going to lose money, that proverbial, you know, rolls downhill. And I'm going to say it, that shit rolls downhill. So, and that means that anybody that they sponsor, will no longer sponsor, and then that money goes away from the NFL, which goes away from the teams, and like I said, if it goes away from the teams and the owners' pockets get a little bit lighter because of it, they're going to look for an out guy, a guy that they can point to cut out and try to cut their losses, so to speak. And the only one that they can point to is the one that they appointed, who income last year was over $40 million. That's a hell of a hit to take $40 million last year and you're unemployed possibly this year. Wow. Wow. That's deep.
Once I want to see that their bottom line is being affected, those moves will be made. Moves will definitely be made. I want to hear all the women's group make the uproar next month about the breast cancer awareness. You know, all the women's groups are going to be in there. And I saw a group of African-American females are now bringing a suit against the league because there are no females being represented. There's just a lot of stuff going on with the NFL right now. They're weathering a tough, tough storm.
Wait a minute. Say that again, Black?
There's a group of African-American females. I forgot what the organization is, but they found out that none of them were consulted about the domestic violence issues because most of the domestic violence issues are dealing with African-Americans in the league. I don't know if you saw that.
And all the people that were appointed were all white. Is that what you're telling me?
Exactly, yes. So they're bringing up an issue. I forgot the name of the group, but I saw them briefly on ESPN the other day.
Oh, okay.
That's a whole other can of worms that just opened up.
Let me see.
I mean, the league is just getting hit from all different angles right now. I mean, I look at Roger Goodell right now as Glass Joe. He's just taking the beating from all angles.
Wow. Oh, here it is here. Let me this came out about a week ago. Let me see if I can. A leading black women's group is calling the NFL's decision not to include any African-American women as consultants on domestic violence unacceptable. The Black Women's Roundtable, made up of female leaders who represent black women and girls, said it appreciated the league's Monday decision to bring in three domestic violence experts as consultants. However, your lack of inclusion of women of color, especially black women, who are disproportionately impacted by domestic violence and sexual assault, and the fact that over 66% of the NFL players are made up of African Americans is unacceptable. And that's a quote. That was from about a week ago. I hate to bring this guy in because he's like a lightning rod when people bring up his name. But this part of the article, so I'm gonna bring it up. Civil rights activist Reverend Jesse Jackson has also criticized the NFL's decision to hire three white female domestic violence experts. That's why I said it, Black, and you know what I'm talking about. Hear him or Al Sharpton, regardless if it's a valid message or not, their past has followed them, and nobody once they're included, their name is brought up. Nobody wants to hear their message because they think it's not valid. Now, they could have a good point, but they're shooting the messenger, not the message. So, and that happens. You know that happens. It's been happening. Let me put it that way. NFL on Wednesday said its attempt to curb domestic violence goes beyond those consultants. These issues are too important to be the responsibility of only a small team of individuals and require a collaborative effort involving a very diverse group of people. NFL spokesman Brian McCarthy said, to be successful and make a real difference, the entire NFL will be responsible for the development and implementation of education, training, and support programs. Now, yeah, this guy is really – he's trying to cover his butt, but he did wrong in this. McCarthy also pointed out that the part of the NFL's leadership team addressing domestic violence includes the NFL's director of player engagement and education, Deanna Garner, and the Vice President of Strategic Development and Operations and Player Engagement, Kim Fields. Both are black. The Black Women's Roundtable said black women are the most likely group of women to experience domestic violence and nearly three times as likely to die as a result of domestic violence than white women. The group has requested a meeting with the NFL Commissioner, Roger Goodell, who has been criticized for his handling of Ray Rice's domestic violence case.
Rice was originally handed a 2-game suspension in July under the NFL's personal conduct policy after he was charged with assault for the February 15th attack on his then-fiancée. He was indefinitely suspended after a video surfaced showing Rice punching Janaea Parker, now his wife. The NFL's Players Union is appealing Rice's indefinite suspension. And I don't know if I got your opinion on this, Black, last week, but what's your thought on, now, what he did was despicable, okay? But the punishment, and everybody knew when he pulled out of the elevator, what the result was, what happened in the elevator for the most part, that she got knocked out, and then he pulled her out of the elevator. They gave him a 2-game suspension. Meaning Goodell got heavily criticized for only giving him 2 games. All right. Then a week or so ago, the video came out that he showed he physically knocked her out that everybody could see. And then the Ravens released him, and the NFL suspended him indefinitely. Now, he supposedly had told them.
It's like double jeopardy. I mean, you can't go back and re-punish a guy after you already punished him. I mean, the first videotape, which where you didn't see the knockout, you just saw him dragging out the elevator. What did you think happened in the elevator?
Right, right, exactly.
They automatically knew what happened in the elevator. That's why he was dragging her out of the elevator. You saw that, and you still ruled to give the man 2-game suspension. I think Ray Rice will win his appeal because there's no way you can double punish a guy when you already punished him.
Right. Exactly. And that's one reason why I read the article from Pro Football Talk first about the position the NFLPA has over the NFL right now. And then this. Like I said, the NFL and Roger Goodell, who heads the NFL, everyone knows that this has been handled extremely poorly. And like I said last week, or maybe I said it on Saturday, whatever day it was, that you can't punish. You gave him your initial punishment, and then when the public opinion and the public outrage, when it actually saw what happened, then they turned around and said, oh, we got to do more to make us look good, meaning the team, when they released him, when they knew what took place, because he said he told the truth to him. Ozzie Newsom said he told the truth to him. And they dismissed him after that. They were going to welcome him back after 2 games. But when that tape came out, they dismissed him. Why? Okay. They knew what happened. Now they saw physical evidence. So and then the league said, well, you're suspended indefinitely. Like I said, Black, like you said, he should, I wouldn't say easily, but he should win his appeal. Now, he may not play. More than likely, he won't play this year, and he'll have a hard time getting back in the league. But there may be some financial things that are tied to this, and I don't know that. Because that 2-game suspension is lifted, and not the 2-game suspension, but the indefinite suspension is lifted, even though the team released him, there may be some monetary value in him getting that indefinite suspension turned back. It may not be popular, but it's what it's supposed to be collectively bargained that you only can be punished once for one offense, not twice. And so, like you said, I think he's got a valid appeal. And they're supposed to appeal to the person who inflicted the penalty, but that's not going to happen. I think the NFLPA is going to want a independent person or whoever to hear the appeal versus Goodell being the judge, jury, and executioner. All right, let's move on to this.
Goodell, Goodell's time doing all three is quickly coming to an end.
Oh, without a doubt.
Have to see some of that power. Definitely have to see some of that power.
Yeah. Oh, well, let me put you, just the last time they collectively bargained. D'Amore Smith was heavily criticized because the NFL seemed to have all the power. Well, guess what? You reap what you sow, NFL. You reap what you sow, Roger Goodell, who, like I said, judge, jury, and executioner, and wielded that power to get, for the most part, what they wanted in a collective bargaining agreement. Well, in order for them to be able to move forward and to try to implement the things that they want to implement against the players and punishment against the players, just like that article said, they're going to have to concede in other areas. And I can't see why or how the NFL can get away with not conceding to some other things that the NFL, PA, gave up in the last bargaining agreement. So it's going to be very interesting and must-see TV in the growing months to find out how D'Amore Smith and Roger Goodell are going to come to an agreement. And D'Amore Smith and his organization in the PA is like licking their chops and can't wait to get to the table in front of Roger Goodell and saying, we want this back from what you took from us in order to try to come to some type of compromise on what you want to do. And basically, Roger, you don't have a choice because of what you put yourself in, because you wanted all the power. You and your owners wanted all the power. So guess what? You're going to have to give some of that back, regardless if you want to or not. And in those certain terms, I don't think the NFL and Roger Goodell and the owners have a choice. What's your thoughts?
They don't have a choice. I think D'Amore Smith is waiting. I'm sure they're drawing up something. But that power is going to have to get spread around somehow. I know he added that commission of the women, but that's not going to be enough. He's going to have to do more. And a quick game update, Eli Manning to Larry Donald, 5-yard touchdown pass. Giants up on the Redskins right now, 7-0.
Oh. And I'm not looking at the game right now, Black. How are the two teams looking?
It was a fumble by Kirk Cousins. He was hit on a sack coming around the corner. Trent Williams gave up a guy coming around the corner. He got a sack and a fumble. Giants took over at about the 25-yard line and proceeded to drive out.
Okay. Otherwise than that, I mean, the game started, about 15 minutes ago?
Yeah, the game started maybe 15, 20 minutes ago.
I guess both teams have a possession. I know the Giants scored on a possession, but was the Redskins moving the ball, or it was just a
Well, they started out at their 5 or 4 yard line, so they were trying to go upfield. Mm-hmm. And then it was a quick rush by the Giants, and they were able to get him around the corner and hit Cousins, and he fumbled, giving the Giants the ball back.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm going to ask you this, Black, and this is on about your team, because they have a game against a high-powered offense in their house. In your house at Dallas, and I want to give you the opportunity to give your thoughts about the New Orleans Saints coming into your house against the Dallas Cowboys, and how your boy Tony Romo and company is going to perform against Drew Brees and company.
Well, first of all, let me tell you that I'm very concerned about this game. Because not only does Sean Payton come back home, but also Rob Ryan comes back home. There's two guys who are with the Cowboy organization. They're no longer with us. I'm sure they have a chip on their shoulder. I'm sure they have some type of grudge with Jerry Jones, even though they won't let it be known publicly. The way we looked against the Rams last week, it definitely concerned me. We went down 21-0 early, and that was the Rams. And all give us to Zach Stacy and Brian Quick, but I mean, Jimmy Graham and Drew Brees is a hell of a combo. Quick was doing it for years. And our secondary is full. I'm very concerned. It's on a Sunday night. I'm just hoping we don't get blown up. Like, I pray for my boys, but I'm very concerned about this game. Very concerned.
And supposedly, well, let me ask you this: what's the deal with the way that they've been running the offense? DeMarco Murray, I think he's got the rushing lead so far. About 50 to 60 yards over Le'Veon Bell. What's your thoughts on them going more to the run?
They're actually showing that graphic right now. Going in the week four, DeMarco Murray has 385, Le'Veon Bell has 315. I'm impressed with them running the ball, but the thing with DeMarco Murray is he tends to fumble in key moments. And that's been the problem of his going back maybe the last 2 years. So, We got to see if he's able to hold on to that boat.
Well, how much has he fumbled this year?
I believe he's fumbled twice already this year. He's fumbled the last two games.
Oh, wow. Well, let me ask you this. I understand he's been fumbling, but you said you're impressed with the way that they committed themselves to the run.
I think they realize that Romo's back is there, but it's not all the way there. So they want to give him some time to get acclimated to throwing the ball again. You got to run to set up that throw. I mean, the play action is very crucial for that. That's what we lived and died by for years in the 90s. We need to get back to that style of football. I like it. Kyle Allen is calling those plays that we can run, but I'm just concerned, man, because once Gerrard says, yo, we got to throw it, then they'll fall into the habit of throwing 30, 40 times again, and they'll abandon the running game. I haven't seen it so far, but I'm liking the game plan. I think we should be able to run against the Saints. But somehow my boys will make it a game where they won't do what they're supposed to do. That happens every Sunday. I almost threw my computer out last week when it went up 21-0. My girl told me to calm down. Just keep watching the game. So I calmed down. I kept watching the game. I started rooting for them in the second half. And lo and behold, they came back. So hopefully my blood pressure doesn't go up this Sunday night.
Wow, I didn't realize you got that worked up about your team, man. But
I've been worked up like that about all my teams. Mets, Hoyas, Cowboys. Those guys get me worked up.
all right, you're 16th against the rush and 21st against the pass, which is not a good thing going up against a team that loves to pass.
Not a good thing at all. Not a good thing at all. And like I said earlier, a secondary is just not there this season.
What do you think about Stanford coming back? He's going to be playing this game. What's your thoughts on
him? He's the lesser of two evils. He's also not that great. So, I mean, we'll take him for the meantime. I need Claiborne to get his head back in the game. I think he needs to go see a psychiatrist or something, get his confidence back. Cause he's capable of making these plays. I mean, he made the interception to end the game, but I need him to get better. I need him to get out of his funk he's in. I need him to stop leaving practice. I need to get his head in the game. He needs to live up to that draft pick, even though he shouldn't have been taken in that slot. But Dre picked him there anyway, but he needs to live up to being the first round.
Well, let me ask you this. Who do you think is the better of the two, Stanford or Claiborne?
Right now, they're even to me. Now, they're even to me. I mean, you can pick your choice. They give up on plays sometimes, so that's not something that I like. But we need the younger guy with the fresher legs to start making some plays. And I'm still waiting to see that. I was excited when he got drafted. He was a high draft pick. I think we got him number six in that draft, and he hasn't lived up to expectations. Then you have Jerry Jones come out and also state that publicly that he hasn't lived up to expectations, which I think had a part in him walking out, storming out.
Yeah, I got to believe that. And you know, what's going on here? You get Jerry Jones coming out and saying that, saying what he said about Claiborne. And then you got Joe Philbin from the Miami Dolphins not endorsing Ryan Tannehill as a starter more than once publicly. And it's creating confusion in the locker room. I guess the guys in the locker room are coming out and saying, what's going on here? Are you the starter? Or is Matt Moore, who came out and said, I haven't even taken a first-team rep. So I don't know what Joe Philbin is doing. Joe Philbin and Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill went to Joe Philbin saying, what the hell is going on here? You know, I mean, how much of a dysfunction can a Miami Dolphins be? They had the things that happened last year, and then the coach is creating all kinds of stupid garbage week four into the season. I mean, does that make any sense to you, Black?
It makes no sense, and I need somebody to get Wallace the ball. Philbin, you left me. I need somebody to get Wallace the ball. I have no idea what's going on with Philbin in this mind or where he took his coaching classes, but this is not the way you run a football team.
Now, I had stated last year that this guy should go. I mean, the general manager went because he was dumb. And I say like that, he was dumb and made dumb moves, and the ownership got rid of him. Philbin should have been out the door, too, because stupid stuff like this, the way he handled the things that happened last year, and like he said, he had no idea, which is a bunch of bull, because the coach usually catches wind of all kinds of stuff, and either turns a blind eye to it puts a stop to it, and he apparently probably knew what was going on and just turned a blind eye to it. Didn't want to, you know, just go out, get out on the field and play. I don't care what you guys do in the locker room or your own time, which is really a bad approach nowadays with the type of players that you you have. You got to be able to relate to players, not be buddy buddy, but you got to be able to relate to players, not treat them like a piece of meat, and not care about what they do or how they do it. Because of the ramifications, if you don't care, they won't care. And you get some type of acts like you got this year. Now, I'm not saying all the ownership didn't care, but some of the stuff is way out of control and probably could have been prevented if someone took more of an approach to being in tune with what the players were doing and how they were feeling. I don't know how you think about that, but today's player needs a little bit more attention than yesterday's player. Talk to me, Black.
Yeah, I agree with you. They should have cleaned house. They should have cleaned house when all that went down. They didn't. Kept filming, and this is the mess you're running into now again this season.
I've never heard of a coach more than once come out and saying that when they asked him who's the starting quarterback, over and over, he wasn't endorsing Tannehill. Now, he may not like the way Tannehill has been playing, but besides the quarterback, you got the offense and the whole team behind the quarterback that start. And if you're up in the air, or you're giving the impression that you're up in the air, you don't know who the quarterback is, the team's going like, what the heck's going on? Well, the coach don't know what's going on. He don't know what's going on. Did he go to the quarterback or quarterbacks and saying, who's the starting quarterback, man? You starting or is he starting? What's going on here? And the quarterback, meaning Tannehill and Moore, are like up in the air. I don't know. I have no idea. I thought I was the starting quarterback, but he more or less saying I'm not. So Stupid. Makes no sense. And,
no sense at all.
It's going to bite him. I'm going to put it that way. It's going to bite him. And I'm anxious to see on Sunday when they play over in London how the Miami Dolphins play against the Oakland Raiders. Now, Oakland Raiders are a very bad team with a rookie quarterback, but Ryan Tannehill has a history of getting sacked quite a bit and being under pressure because of that offensive line. They played well against New England, but they haven't played well really since then, the last two games. So they need to turn it around quickly to make the team more confident, Ryan Tannehill, and more importantly, confident in the coach, and that like the coach knows what the hell he's doing. Right now, I don't know if this is worse than was last year. I mean, last year was pretty bad, but if the coach starts, and this is only week four into the season, starts this type of stupid garbage.
Once Moreno went down, that was a wrap.
Well,
Moreno,
you know what?
Came in and was that glue out there. When he went down, that was definitely.
I don't know how much truth it is, but I heard and I forgot where I heard it from. I heard that Moreno was called in to consult about whether Ryan Tannehill should be the starting quarterback or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I heard something like that. I think it was today. And that's if that's true, that's I don't know, man. I mean, it's crazy.
That's a bad situation all the way around, that because I don't see what better option you have other than Tannehill.
This is what I'm saying here. 2 days ago, and I'm gonna bring this out because I just got it, and this is out of Pro Football Talk also. 2 days ago, the Miami Dolphins hired Hall of Fame quarterback Dan Marino as a special advisor to owner Stephen Ross back in August. Unless his previous stint with the Dolphins was where he was expected to be involved in football-related decisions, Marino's position this time wasn't expected to include football operations. However, a report by Jason Cole of Bleacher Report claimed that Marino had been evaluating both quarterback Ryan Tannehill and head coach Joe Philbin at the request of Ross. The report claimed that Marino had done a lot to develop a relationship with Tannehill, had worked out with him, spent a lot of time with him, and was evaluating his progress. But Marino says otherwise. Marino disputes the claim in the report. This whole thing with the thing. Bleacher Report said there's not once in this whole situation where Mr. Ross has asked me, hey, you have to sit down and evaluate Joe Philbin or Ryan Tannehill. Marino restated that his role was to work on more on community relations side of the organization and not as a liaison to provide football evaluations for Ross. He also said he has only had dinner once with Tannehill and hasn't worked out or coached Tannehill in any way. And I'm not going to go on. Basically, saying Marino says that ain't true. One report says it's true. The other one, Marino says it's not true. Maybe it's somewhere in the middle. Who knows? But there's a lot of dysfunction, a lot of rumors flying around Miami, and none of it's good. Your thoughts on that, Black?
Yeah, that's – look, we're still fresh into the season. This thing is going to fall apart quickest.
Yep.
Quick. This thing is going to fall apart. This is bad. And, looks like the Giants defensive line are just having a jailbreak against the Redskins offensive line. They're getting the Kirk Cousins, so this might be a long night for Washington. Victor Cruz just caught a 30 or 40-yard pass to move the Giants in the Redskins territory.
Okay. All right, well, we got 2 seconds left in the show, and we're going to try to get out on time, or relatively on time. Black, you got anything to say before we exit this show? until next week?
Yes, we will have coming soon. Our lady of boxing, Ava Knight, will be fighting NBC in November. Which was surprising to me because I found out about it last second. She'll be fighting down here in November in the Under Armour card, defending her belt. So we'll have Ava on, I believe, the second or third week of November. She'll be coming on the show right before her fight.
Ava Knight, you said, right?
Ava Knight, yes, sir.
Ooh, baby. Okay. Okay, I go along with that. That'd be a good night. Anyway, if that's all you have to say, Black, I want to thank everyone for listening. If you didn't catch us live, catch us in the archives. We'll be back here on Thursday night, as always, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am JT. He is Black the Bookie. We are the FSP Crew Show, and we are gone.
Yeah. It's Mr. Anchor. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, log on.